Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel and Gordon Nathan. We're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. And you dress for the occasion today. You wore a Batman shirt.
Yeah.
I don't have a Batman shirt, or else I would have worn it.
That's such a...
But if I did, it would be way cooler.
Nerd thing to say. You're hardly a nerd.
I think so. I don't really have a whole lot of nerdy shirts anymore.
I just like find stuff at Target. And they're like $10, and then like Old Navy, there's like $10.
Yeah.
And I'm like I don't even like Captain America that much, but I got like, you know, that shirt.
Sometimes I got some cool stuff.
Because it's like all like retro or whatever.
Yeah. You know? But sometimes the retro shit will have like Jack Kirby drawings or like John Romita Sr. drawings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I see that like out in the wild, with like, and I'll be like with Sophie, I'm like, that's a Todd McFarlane Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's like a superpower that I have. And she thinks it's magic.
She, on her episode, she like had like a Jay Lee cover and I like clocked that.
Oh, yeah.
But she's
that
like,
that was a hard one too, because it was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. She's like, how do you know that? I'm like, gosh, I don't know. I'm burdened by this.
He's got a way about him.
It's just, yeah. I mean, that's like one of the most recognizable cover artists, though, I feel like.
Totally, Jay Lee. Especially now, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Batman 66. We got Batman Matters in the pull list, but we start with the news.
Tangent. Batman 66-6, where it's Batman 66, but he's in hell. Is that anything?
There is a issue, Batman number 666, which is, I think, is centered around hell.
Nope, that's regular Batman. I want Adam West Batman in hell. And it's called Batman 66.
After reading this, I don't think that's unrealistic.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Well, and then they have like the... You know, the issue 6, like right next to where the 66 is at.
And it, you could pull it off.
This is only 5 issues, so who knows what's in the next one.
Yeah, the next one could be crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, Daniel, what do you got for news?
It's mostly just like kind of release dates for shows and stuff.
Yeah, speaking of the devil, Born Again.
What?
Did you see the Born Again trailer, season 2?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. That was coming like just the next year.
It comes in March.
Yeah, March 24th.
I'm like, they filmed this shit already?
I think they filmed both seasons together.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And then they split it up.
I wasn't like super crazy about the last season, but I watched this and I was like, this looks good.
I don't even think I listened to it with sound. So I was just, I don't know. I watch it because I love that show. But
I just saw like Vincent D'Onofrio with like boxing gloves on. And he was about to box some inmate or something.
Mm.
And I was like, this should be fun.
Hell yeah.
So we'll see. Also, Jessica Jones is in it.
I did see that.
That's fun.
Invincible comes out March 18th.
That's exciting.
Darth Maul, that show.
Oh, yeah. We did see the trailer for it.
That comes out April 6th.
Mm-hmm. That looked fun enough.
You know, I was looking up movies that come out this year. And you know what's supposed to come out on April 17th?
No.
4 Kids Walk Into a Bank.
What?
Yeah.
Still?
What do you mean?
Like, it's still coming out, or you just wrote down that date? Like a long time ago.
No, I found this today. Like, I even looked up an IMDb, and that's when it's expected to come out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That'd be a sick birthday movie for you.
I know, and that's so cool.
I'm sure that's going to be pushed back, but no one's just officially announced that it's being pushed back yet.
Yeah, because we're getting trailers for stuff in, like, June and stuff so far.
Surely we'd see either a trailer or, like, a set photo or something. Or even anything from, like, Matt Rosenberg.
I don't know if, like... anyone really cares about set photos of just some kids, you know?
That's true, but at least a trailer you'd think we'd have at this point. But if it's a thing, I'm down to watch it. It seems fun.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we have to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be like a limited release kind of thing.
I'll find it somewhere.
We got April solicitations. Nothing that crazy except Headlopper's coming back.
Headlopper's back.
In April.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
It's like the Andrew fourth McLean. Run, but it's technically issue number 17 or something.
It's apparently a 10-year anniversary relaunch. Like, that's why he's coming back to do it.
Has it been 10 years?
Yeah. So,
and he's just started another
2016.
Four?
And what's up? He's doing, number 4.
He's doing 4 issues.
Yeah, I think guess. So. But that's a good book. It's fun.
Sweet.
So, excited to see him back on some stuff. There is... from Marvel. It's called Hold on. They posted it something. It's called Reborn Ultimate Impact. And apparently it has to do with the Ultimate Universe in some way. So maybe they're regretting their decision to end it. Or maybe just parts of the Ultimate Universe are coming into Marvel again. I don't really know what's going on, but I think that's kind of funny.
You don't even know what it is.
I don't even know what it is.
So what's funny about it?
But it's funny that they're like, it's all going to end like last month is when they said that.
Yeah, I mean, they had like Ultimate Endgame as like a series, right? And then...
Yeah.
And then everything's basically ending.
But now they're like, you know what? Absolute Universe is doing pretty good. Maybe we should like keep something going. So we'll see what that ends up being.
Yeah, I mean...
But it has a May 2026 date.
None of the books were like top 10... books, you know, yeah, they sales,
no motion,
and stuff
like that.
No motion. I hate a
reboot. Yeah,
this just proves it. But there is some swings like that I appreciate.
This was today. I don't know if you heard this. Did you hear about Sal Buscema? Passed away.
What?
Yeah, at the age of 89.
Dang.
He's worked, you know, for Marvel for decades. Here's just a few of what he worked on: Avengers, Fantastic Four, Thor, Marvel Team Up, Submariner, Daredevil, Nova, Eternals. It's like a huge list. And he had three major Spider-Man series, and he worked on the Hulk for 10 years. And he did Rom Space Knight as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So, very unfortunate loss. He's a titan.
That's a bummer.
A few days shy of his 90th birthday, apparently.
Yeah.
But that's always that name. Like, you hear that name a lot when just, like, randomly looking at, like, old comics, I feel like. Especially old Marvel comics.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Marvel legend.
Yeah, dude. A lot of 70s and 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm. Some Ghost Rider. He did Howard the Duck. Master of Kung Fu. A lot of stuff.
Dang.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
As of recording, it happened today. What else you got?
I don't got anything else.
All right, cool. That's it. Well,
what book did we read this week, Ethan?
We read Batman 66 by Jeff Parker and a bunch of other people.
Jonathan Case, Ty Templeton, Joe Quinones, Sally Gerrell.
Yeah, name each
Ruben
one.
Procopio.
In each of the stories.
Colleen Coover, right.
But this is supposed to be like a comic book version of the show or movie or both?
Both.
So we had a show and a movie?
Yeah.
Adam West?
Yep.
Man, that guy had motion, didn't he?
Yep.
So this is like a comic book version of that. Each issue is kind of like an anthology, which is why I'm surprised it has so many volumes, because normally you don't see like an anthology series really that far.
It's like not a continuous thing, but it's adapting something that's episodic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bound to be kind of episodic in itself. True. So
yeah, it feels like just episodes of the show.
Like there wasn't some long overarching thing, you know.
You don't think so in the show?
Yeah, I don't think he had just like this romance that he's trying to rekindle or something.
You don't
or...
think there's an arc for him to get the shark repellent?
There should be, but there isn't.
I want to see that. I actually do want to watch that episode. And it's like it's got Joker and he has like a surfboard. He's like running on the beach or whatever. Seen that?
I think it's fake.
Could be fake.
I think it. Like, I like what this is, mm-hmm. and it works well, and it's kind of like almost what I was expecting, you know, but a little bit better than I was expecting. Like,
mm-hmm.
they could have just had this logo, and then it could have just been whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been fun if it looked like this, but also was just, like, a little more serious, but just it was just in this, like, dress, basically. So they had like, it's like a 5-issue arc, you mm-hmm. know, and it's really just the things that Batman had to deal with in this time. But, you know, it's like kind of a little.
They felt like episodes, but with like a little bit more, basically like just with a higher budget.
Tissue kind of thing. Yeah, that's what this is. It's like if there's a limited budget.
Yeah, pretty much. If they could.
This would have been the best show of all time.
Dude, it would have been. If they could make, you know, Batman jump and grapple onto his Batcopter, you know, back in the day, that's what they would have done. But since they can't, they make him do it.
And there's
this.
Like a trippy dream sequence.
Or yeah, a lot of psychedelic sequences in this. So yeah, it definitely does feel episodic in that way. But
there's
some crazy action.
There's a lot of crossover books that are probably more like that.
Like Batman 66 and something else?
Yeah, like Archie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that could have been something more connective. There's also Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77.
That seems fun.
Yeah, so shit like that. So maybe next time.
Yeah. But this one mainly is just kind of like an anthology, but with Jeff Parker writing pretty much all of them.
Do we know Jeff Parker?
I think he did like the Space Ghost stuff.
Did he recently?
Like the last run of Space Ghost. I think he does a lot of the old cartoony stuff for like Warner Bros. Stuff, comics for DC.
Like Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah, like the Hanna-Barbera stuff, Looney Tunes stuff. I could be wrong.
He did Thunderbolts, Hulk, Aquaman, Batman 66 meets the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that one, isn't that one a period piece?
Oh, dude, he did Darkwing Duck. That's sick.
Yeah, that's like one of the shows.
Oh, Future Quest, okay.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking of.
Flash Gordon. Zootopia.
This is a Zootopia comic?
Dude,
we missed out.
Oh, wait, no, it's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
The trade comes out in like a week. Gotta reach out to the younger crowd.
Yeah, we do.
We're just like, what the fuck is
that
this?
That movie made how many billions? Almost 2 billion probably at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If we could even have just one of those billions, I'd be happy.
Anyway.
So this first one is The Riddler's Ruse. And it's written by Jeff Parker with art by Jonathan Case and colors by Wes Abbott. So Riddler steals some sculptures that are part of like an art showcase, and he leaves behind a puzzle for Batman and Robin to solve. The investigation leads them to Catwoman's nightclub as like a red herring, but Catwoman decides to help them to figure out like where the statues are together, and points that they like put. They make a replica of the statues that were stolen, and it makes like a map that points to a certain spot in Gotham. And that's going to be where like the last statue is going to be stolen. So they go to Gotham Park. They stop the Riddler, but Catwoman escapes with a cat sculpture, not knowing that it's a fake replica that Batman created.
These stories are like a little longer than you expect almost. Like,
yeah,
they're expecting to be like an 8-pager, but they're like,
they're a little bit more like
a bit more
dense.
I don't think so. Like, it feels dense almost because you almost expect it to flow faster.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
but if you're just like reading it without distractions, then I think it flows pretty well.
No, yeah, I think so. But what I mean is like there's a lot more plot points going on in each one. I figured it'd just be like it's Batman and Robin and they're having some breakfast or something. Mm. I've never seen the show, so I guess I don't really know what the show is like either, but
it's basically that.
They have breakfast and they're like, oh my God, the Riddler's
not a ton of B plots.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm surprised that it like they try to solve something, it leads them to Catwoman. They have to like fight Catwoman's henchmen or whatever. And then they have to like solve the mystery, and then, you know, there's like a whole three act structure, which I guess I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah, and then there's multiple stories within each issue,
mm-hmm.
which is like more bang for your buck, you know?
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
But
we see in this, we see the poles that Batman and Robin slide down when they go to like suit up, but it's Alfred and he's like sliding down it, but he's sliding down it with like a platter that's just holding two glasses of milk, I think. And I think I just like that idea that they ordered milk from Alfred to get delivered.
Milk was pretty big in the 60s.
Well, like, I know Robin needs to like become a big strong boy and he needs some strong bones, but
yeah,
it's kind of funny still.
In this first issue, there's like a plane crash, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like never would happen.
You're not getting a plane crash.
And
there's some really good coloring in this issue, though.
I love the coloring on this specifically because it's
Wes Abbott.
So it's like so odd because it almost feels like it's got like a 3D effect.
Yeah.
Because there's just
opposite
colors like overlaid on top of what the colors are.
Yeah.
And it
a lot of omnicolor.
It really like, fits effects. Into like the retro style.
Mm-hmm. I like the coloring in this one a lot. It feels like you could put on some like retro 3D glasses and get something out of it.
The Adam West Batman, he's got like interlocking like a locking cape so he can like fly and like, glide.
Cool. You wouldn't see that in
I'm
the
like,
show.
I'm like, what?
Like he's got the ability to do that.
Yeah.
There's a line that Batman says that I think is funny. He just says, all problems have a solution if you work through them.
Yeah, there's
like, yeah, no shit.
There's quite a bit of obvious kind of dialogue here.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one bit where it's like Alfred's talking to Batman saying that he always sees through the Riddler's charades.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Alfred, your faith in me means more than you can imagine. And I'm like, relax.
Yeah, okay, chill out. At one point,
you can tell the trickster guy is tricking you.
Yeah. At one point, Catwoman's club is on fire and Batman puts it out with a fire extinguisher and he says, thanks to Catwoman's complying with the fire marshal and having an accessible extinguisher, we're able to put out this fire.
Yeah.
Like there's like a whole public service announcement pretty much for fire safety in this issue.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Kind of like on the nose.
Did you catch that they just like casually like bumped into Dracula?
Yeah. I don't know what he was up to.
They were just climbing up a wall and then Dracula opens like a door. He's like, I don't need competition or whatever.
You'd think he wouldn't pop his head out if it was daytime out.
I think it's nighttime.
Was it nighttime? I can't even. Oh, yeah. It looks like it was nighttime. Never mind. Yeah. You know, it's just a big wacky world. I'm sure that's probably a reference to the show. They probably met Dracula at some point.
That'd be fun.
So it's probably like a little cameo.
I know that's like a cat club, but there was like no part of me that thought that Catwoman just like ran this thing. Yeah. You know?
There's not a whole lot of cat branding.
Yeah.
You'd think there would be.
And then they crash through like a window in the ceiling, but then they're just super casual when they're on the ground. Like everyone knows them and stuff. They could have just walked in the front door probably. No property damage.
Yeah, that's true. People seem to fuck with Batman and Robin in this book.
Oh, yeah.
They'll see them and be like, oh my God, it's Batman and Robin. What can we do?
And then does Batman knock out Catwoman?
At the end of this?
Yeah.
I'd have to see when that was. Like at the very
end. Oh, it was like a little like spray or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like he knocks out a woman. And then
it was the 60s.
Batman's got like a 3D printer.
He does.
And then they're just like talking about like, ooh, I hope this could be used for something other than crime fighting one day.
I'm like, you have some revolutionary technology. There's a lot of revolutionary technology in this, actually.
Yeah, it was like.
But he makes like an exact replica of the statue. And I'm like, you do not have the specs for that.
Like, yeah, you need a scanner for that.
Yeah, how did you scan the statue to get an exact replica?
Yeah, for sure. But it's funny.
Yeah, I do like the campy gadgets that they put in here.
There are a lot of pages.
What do you feel about the Batman design of having eyebrows on the cowl?
I think it's so funny.
I think it's hilarious.
It kind of, I don't know. I always like this design just because of the retro look to it.
Yeah, me too.
But the thing is like they designed this when the comics never look like this, yeah. You know?
They're like, we should put some eyebrows.
It's just really strange liberty that they took.
Yeah. But
the color scheme is like the best. It's like blue and gray, which is top tier Batman.
You know, in this one, it's just a lot of blue. It's like light blue and like a dark blue.
Yeah.
So, but I could tell that he's still trying to mimic the gray and blue.
Yeah.
What do you mean he never looked like this in the comics? Because the only liberty I think they took was just the eyebrows.
I mean, they kind of make it to where, like, he's got this faceplate
part. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that part.
And then the eyebrows. Then, like, the nose is really defined.
Yeah, that is just a very practical effect-looking thing.
Like, when you look at, like, toys or, like, Legos or something, it's very distinctively.
Or like that.
Or this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was like this pretty early on, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of like that. It's almost like a mandala effect that Mike Allred did not work on this.
Dude, I know. His like covers are so fun.
His covers are the best and really like the best artist for this.
Maybe that's why they sold so many volumes of this.
Maybe.
People love an Allred cover.
There's a compendium of it. Like 1,000 pages, I think.
Holy shit.
I looked into it.
You did?
Wow. I just like at first, because I was like, I think there's a big collection of this.
If there's a compendium, it probably sells well. So, I mean, maybe people just have some level of nostalgia for it, and they like the episodic nature of this.
I think if I can't started imagine that's on the main this,
market.
I think if I started on this, and really, you can pick up any issue.
That is good.
Which is like impossible.
If you know that this is episodic or whatever.
Yeah, you just
if you see an issue that has like Mr. Freeze on it, you could be like, oh, you just, that'll be fun to
read. The Mr.
To read.
Freeze story, the self-contained thing. Which, then maybe a backup issue or story.
But I feel like this is the only Batman book for some time now where you could just pick up any issue and it's fine. And if you just, you know, you don't have to be bogged down by any sort of like story arc or
maybe
continuity.
Like it just
that lasts this
doesn't
long,
doesn't work as like as arcs, you know, like
this.
Yeah. Like some issue that would take or some problem that would take multiple issues. It seems like,
I think, probably not. You'd probably get tired out by some of the,
like the dialogue, maybe, or
maybe some of that dialogue of what they are trying to develop or anything like that.
I did get kind of sick of like the Riddler. Like I didn't really want to see like more of him after his story.
Yeah. So if this was like a 5-issue Riddler story, I'd be like, ugh, there's a lot going on, I think. So yeah, you're probably right. I think this is its strongest as a anthology like it is.
Yeah. Like I didn't read this and think like anything was missing, you know, like we get some Joker, we get some everybody.
Yeah. So the next one is Emperor Penguin, written by Jeff Parker. They all are, with art by Ty Templeton and Wes Hartman on colors. Pop quiz, Daniel, spell Emperor.
E-M-P-E-R-O-R.
Good job. I had trouble spelling it, and I was like, where's the double R? I think there's a double R in here somewhere. And then I replaced the...
Emperor.
I swapped the O and the E at some point. I was having a hard time, and I was like, I wonder if Daniel knows how to spell this.
This is like the Emperor's New Groove, and then like...
I know, but I feel like that one has
isn't
a double
like
R.
The Emperor like in Star Wars.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's like
that's the most normie thing I think I've ever heard you say.
isn't it? Well, like
isn't
like,
there like an Emperor?
He's like
in Star
the
Wars?
Sith Lord and like Lord Sidious.
I'm
like,
but they call him the Emperor.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh yeah, and then like the Empire and shit. So it's like
yeah. Empire is spelled differently for Emperor.
You know what word I have a fucking problem with?
What?
Gotten.
Like G-O-T-T-E-N?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm like, is that like proper English?
No.
But it's like in a dictionary. I mean, like everything's in a dictionary now.
Right.
Like Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, gotten.
So it's like, I use it, but I don't know what like would be more proper to sound normal.
I think that's kind of like a...
Like I'd gotten sick.
I think like, it's like the triangle peg fits in the circle hole kind of thing. It's like, it's probably better just to say got.
I got sick. I think there's...
Unless you're like super past tense, and I think what you're saying is like, I've gotten sick before.
Right.
But you could say, before. I've got sick before. Maybe it's just like a vibes thing.
I think so. I think...
Sometimes
it's
English
probably
vibes.
Not making you sound smart.
Yeah, true.
But... Yeah, I was just like... I was just baked, and I was like, that's not...
That is a crazy thing.
That doesn't work, does it? And so, anyway.
So the Penguin, with Mr. Freeze's help, creates an iceberg off the coast of Gotham that the UN recognized as a sovereign nation called Penguinia. And Batman captures the Penguin. Sorry, reverse. Penguin captures Batman and holds him hostage as an alien of his nation. Robin has to take the Bat submarine, and he cuts the anchors that are keeping Penguinia from moving, and that causes the iceberg to like move, and they deem it as like a vehicle now instead of a sovereign nation, and so that allows him to remove diplomatic protections from holding Batman prisoner, I guess. And so Robin cuts a hole in the iceberg to free Batman, but Penguin and Mr. Freeze get away.
So there's like this like Penguin assistant that goes and shows this legitimate document to Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
And then Gordon's looking at like a blank page.
Yeah. Dude,
he's
like, I thought that was weird.
He's like, incredible, Chief. I think this is legitimate.
Dude, yeah. I noticed that too. I'm like, did she turn the paper around?
Because like it's like smaller.
Yeah.
In the panel next to it, but in the zoomed up panel, there's no like scribbly lines or whatever.
You'd think that you'd at least put scribbly lines.
Like I'm sure it looks like busier or whatever that way, but still.
Also, this assistant kisses Robin.
Yeah.
That's a child.
Oh, yeah.
That's problematic as fuck. Because he's
like,
a child in the show, right? / movies. I know he's like an adult man that plays him, but he should be considered.
I think
like,
he's supposed to be like 14, 15. I'm not sure how old the actor was, but.
Actor, I'm pretty sure, was at least 25 when he was filming the show.
I look it up.
But yeah, this assistant woman who's like clearly an adult kisses Robin, and I'm like, why would you want to do that? He's like, he looks 14 in this for real. So
how old was Burt Ward?
Damn, you know his name.
He played 1920, so yeah.
Oh, he was born in 1920?
Yeah.
So he was like 40?
Huh?
How old was he when he was Robin then?
19.
What?
He was 19.
Why is this Batman 66?
That's when the show came out.
But he was born in 1920?
No, no. He was 19 to 20 years old.
Oh, like
he was,
okay. My bad.
Yeah, that dude's like turns 80 this year.
Is he still alive? Cool. Good for him.
I've seen him at like, I haven't seen him, but I've seen clips of him at like Comic Cons and stuff.
That's cool. Yeah. The only people I know from this universe by like their actor name is Adam West and Cesar Romero.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know anybody else.
Yeah. I don't like the Mr. Gordon in this because he doesn't really like, he's not like the Gordon that we know. You know, he's just kind of a guy.
He doesn't smoke or he's not tortured by his police work or anything.
He doesn't have glasses.
You know? He does.
Does he?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, this one is more like the commission that we know. I'm just thinking about like when I saw him in the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's him, you know?
That's the guy. Yeah. I love, there's a lot of alliteration that Jeff Parker puts just in this book in general, but he describes the Penguin as a pompous prince of perilous plots. And he does that a lot, like consistently throughout the book. And I'm always pretty impressed by it, to be honest. But something.
I guess Mr. Freeze is German.
Yeah, he's like super German accent-y sounding in this.
Yeah.
But, and he's got some fucking eyebrows, dude. I want to see what he looks like in the show, because if they deliberately put some eyebrows on that dude, he's got to look crazy on the show.
I mean, I think it's possible that there might be some characters in this that weren't in the show.
Probably. Because wasn't Mr. Freeze...
Oh, no, he totally was.
He was? I know he wasn't created for the... Oh, yeah. Damn, look at those eyebrows.
Yeah.
He looks like a reverse DeLorax. I know that Batman the Animated Series made the design that we know Mr. Freeze for today with like the dome over his head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is interesting that he's here. But something that aged poorly in this book is Penguin has... some henchmen that are wearing a shirt that just says goon on it. And I think I need one of those shirts immediately.
Yeah.
Because that is so funny. It's funny not just because it says goon on it, but the fact that he put in the effort to just like, how are people going to know who these guys are to me?
Yeah.
And he's like, I want them to know that they're my goons.
A quote that also didn't age very well. Batman's in, you know, the prison or whatever. He's like, you can't keep an American citizen in an ice dungeon, Penguin.
Yeah. That one stings a little bit too hard right now.
Whoa.
I'm like, wow, he's way ahead of his time.
I need to send this to Jeff Parker and be like, you called it.
You son of a bitch, you've done it again. I think Robin cuts a hole in the iceberg, but he's like below the water when he does it. So I don't know how this whole iceberg hasn't just like flooded like the Titanic.
Well, you know how like in Pirates of the Caribbean where they have like the boat that they flip upside down and they walk on the bottom?
Yeah.
Like the air is like in there.
You think there's still like an air pocket bubble thing?
Yeah.
Mm.
I think that's how that works. I think like once the air like vents out, that's when it would have sank.
Mm.
But
so it's sealed off on the top.
I think a door is just closed probably.
Mm.
But yeah, he's got some sort of like heat ray thing that was able to open the door.
They do have some good tech in this. Also, just this whole ice sovereign nation, like the iceberg, not something you'd see in the show.
No.
So I like the ideas here.
Did Batman just kind of like create Mr. Freeze or something? Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, he seems like pissed that he's like that because of Batman. He said, you cut me off from the world of warmth forever. Then you spilled freeze fluid on me. Now you will never return to your life.
Do you want to go for the accent?
No, I don't really know how to do a German accent, or else I would.
It's just high-pitched and loud, I think.
I think you're just... No, there's like... I mean, he's probably high-pitched and loud because he's a villain or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking of, like, World War II.
Yeah. Like, now you will never return to your life.
Where it's like, what? Another ship is going in? But we did not click the fee. See?
That's like every German cartoon character. That's pretty good. Anything else on that one?
You know, there's not really... I tried looking at people who could do, like, Adam West impersonations. But I don't think anyone can really do it well. You know, he just had this kind of very
singular... No, it could be hard to do. I just don't think there's a market for it, maybe.
Yeah, it is kind of... But he was in like South... Or he was in Family Guy.
Yeah. He's the president or whatever.
It's kind of in between like Nixon and like Jeff Goldblum in a way. But I...
It's like a softer Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. Anyway.
He was always pretty good in Family Guy. Yeah, rest in peace. The next one?
Yeah.
We got Chandelle's Chanteuse, I think is that word, but it's by, with art by Jonathan Case and colored by Wes Hartman. So Batman and Kathy Kane are going on a date to a concert, but the singer is the villain named Siren, who uses her singing powers to brainwash men into stealing the valuables off of their dates, like their necklaces and jewels and stuff. But Batman has meditated enough to be immune to this very specific thing that Siren does. So Siren uses like a special throat spray and creates like a high note that throws Batman into like hallucinations. And then Kathy has to save Batman by like pouring some water on her, and then the police arrest the Siren. But this villain's kind of cool, I think. Like,
yeah, it seems like it fits.
It seems like something that could be in the show too, and she would just like sing, and then the men would act like they're all.
And they even like hinted hypnotized. Towards like some dude in like a fur coat like helped her get that throat spray or whatever. That
I think that's supposed to be like the Sandman.
I don't know. He seems just kind of.
He just seems like some dude like in a big guy. Fur coat, but yeah,
yeah.
But it's interesting that. You know, she's like a siren, so her voice only works on men.
Mm-hmm.
So the women are like completely conscious. But I love the switch up in art style when Batman like hallucinates. There's a couple really cool pages. Some of them are like watercolor painted.
Oh, which yeah.
Is pretty cool. So I really like that aspect of it. And this is like some of the funky stuff.
Yeah,
like
it's top tier art in here.
Super. I would have loved if the art changed to like a traditional gritty Batman style for like a page. Like if he's in these hallucinations and it just changes to like modern Batman for like a page.
That'd be something.
That'd be fun.
Who's to say that doesn't happen later?
That's true. That's very true. But yeah, that was a quick one. So then the next one is The Joker Sees Red with art by Joe Quiñones.
Yeah.
And colors by Maris Wicks. So the Red Hood shows up to Gotham and he's doing some crimes and he wants the Joker as like part of some vendetta or he's going to keep doing crimes. So Batman and Robin decide to use the Joker as bait to get to Red Hood and they get the approval from the Arkham Doctor, Dr. Overbeck. And it turns out it was all a plan for Joker to escape and Red Hood is actually Dr. Overbeck. And then Batman and Robin had like a tracker on Joker so they were able to like just go get him, pretty much. That's all that one is.
Yeah, somehow, like, the dome was able to connect, like, it was almost trying to replicate the Joker's mind or something, and it kind of brainwashed him or something.
I think Dr. Overbeck was doing some experimental technology where he tries to, like, manipulate people's minds.
Yeah.
With, like, some machine, but because the Joker's so crazy, it, like, affected Dr. Overbeck's mind instead and turn him into Red Hood. There's like something like that going on. But I do love just Joe Quiñones' version of Batman 66.
Do you like the white eyes?
Yeah.
You do?
I'm a big fan of that, actually.
I thought it was a little odd. I was like, is it been like this? You know, but like it seems to work, especially in like nighttime.
Yeah.
Because like it can be kind of hard to draw in all the details when he's far away, you know?
I think it works better for Robin, admittedly.
He looks scary. What are you talking about?
No, I think it looks cool.
I don't know, man. That looks low-key like nightmare fuel. Imagine waking up to that.
I do think that because his actual eyes were normally going through the eye holes, just the eye holes in general are super big. So the fact that they are all white you know, I can see why someone would think that that's weird.
Yeah, I'm glad someone did it.
I think like just this panel where they're looking at what they think is the Joker, and it's like hit Batman's reflection and the other Doctor's reflections on there. I was like, this is cool.
Dr. Quinn?
It was Dr. Quinn, yeah.
That was an interesting inclusion. So that's someone who wasn't in the show.
No, because she wasn't created until the animated series.
Yeah.
That's a fun little inclusion.
Yeah.
There is...
And then that doctor is all the doctor, what was his name? Beck or something?
Overbeck.
Overbeck. He's also German. So another German accent in there. Yep.
A lot of evil Germans, I guess.
He didn't seem that evil though. He just happened to be German.
Oh yeah. I think he just made a mistake that turned him evil. I like that they kept the Cesar Romero like painted on mustache.
Oh.
When you first see the Joker, you could like see that there's like little mustache lines.
Let me see. Okay, yeah, you could see it, like, here and there.
Yeah. Like, when it's a close-up on his face, you could, like, definitely see it.
That was such a funny decision.
It.
He just hung on to it.
He just didn't want to get rid of it. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, just paint over it.
Should do that with Superman, you know?
That's true, yeah. Wouldn't have that bad CGI. But next one is called Scrambled Eggs. And it's with art by Sandy Jarrell and Rico Renzi on colors. Batman and Robin are captured by Egghead and they're put into like this glass dome egg thing. And they're dropped from the egg blimp that they're on. And they are...
The egg zeppelin.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
That's so good. So they're dropped from the egg zeppelin and they have to like figure out how to survive, and they use quick thinking to escape the egg and get into the bat copter that was remotely controlled to their location. And then they hijack the egg blimp like controls remotely and they fly it to Gotham Penitentiary. And there are so many egg puns in this issue.
Tons.
Like if you like puns in your book, I got the book for you. Because there's a lot of egg puns. There's like 6 egg puns on the first 2 pages. I counted. I was like, they're burning through these quick.
I love the Batcopter.
The Batcopter is so funky looking. But there's also just...
The wings are the best.
The wings are the most like useless part. But if you take that off, that's what a helicopter looks like.
Yeah.
They're kind of goofy looking.
Gotta have some branding in there.
Yeah. So the wings are awesome.
Yeah. So they're falling in this glass dome. But then Batman's... remote controlling the Batcopter, but also doing like math, like physics,
yeah,
in order to kind of time like the nosedive of the copter and how fast it can go so that they can jump off and fucking grapple it or whatever.
It's funny to think that he's smart enough to do all of that, but he has to ask Robin what the speed of like free fall is, or like what the speed of gravity is, which is 9.8 meters per second squared.
Yeah, he like knows the other formula.
He knows how
though.
To just time the trajectory of the fall and everything, but he has to ask, what was that pesky number again?
Yeah. I have a little Batcopter.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Whoa, you do. I've never seen that. It's got the wings and everything.
Yeah, dude. I don't know where I got it. It's a little dusty.
That's cool as fuck, though.
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Like, I kind of get sick of, like, having, like, a bunch of little, like, knick-knack things, but I wouldn't get rid of this.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Eggman, is that his name? Egghead?
I don't know. I got it mixed up with, like, Egg Foo, like, the Iron Man villain.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's kind of funny.
I wonder if Egghead is a thing in Batman comics somewhere.
Maybe.
Like.
It is Egghead, though?
Yeah, it's Egghead. Like, I wonder what the most recent Egghead appearance was.
Looks like he's really only on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he appeared in the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I see.
Introduced him into the comics as an inmate of Arkham Asylum.
I just found this random article, and it was like, psychotic Batman villains Nick Cage could play. And it's just a picture of Nick Cage next to Egghead.
He was in his first appearance in comics is Gotham Academy 15.
Really? Interesting.
And he was just in a book called Taste of Justice, I guess.
Mm.
A part of DC Go.
Mm.
Anyway.
Interesting. So the next one is the Hatter takes the crown. So the Queen of England's royal guards report that their hats are stolen, and Batman and Robin hear about this and they fly to England suspecting that the Mad Hatter is responsible for the stolen hats. So when Batman crashes Hatter's plan to steal the crown jewels, Hatter flies off in a hat-shaped hovercraft, and Batman has to like grapple onto the hat and like hang onto it while Robin drives the Batmobile that they have. They have like an England British version of the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Which is fun. And
like a Rolls Royce looking thing.
Yeah. And he shoots it down with a bat beam and Hatter is arrested. But
I like that Batman and Robin took like a commercial flight to London.
And they ordered two apple juices. That's a funny order. What the hell happened to like villains staying on brand? Because Hatter creates this like revolutionary hovercraft technology, and then he's like, we have to make it look like a hat though before we use it. He's like, I'm gonna look like a big fucking idiot.
I know
out there.
A hovercraft would be so helpful.
If it looked like a fucking UFO, I'm gonna look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I just gotta make it look like a hat.
when Mad Hatter's like stealing the crowns and whatnot, the people like in that museum are like clapping when he left for some reason, and I just thought it was odd.
They were clapping when he left. Let me see.
Yeah, he just like kind of tips his hat to people as he's leaving, and there's clapping, and I thought that was so weird.
Maybe he was posing as like some sort of collector or something. I don't think people knew that was Mad Hatter, but yeah, they are clapping as he's leaving.
Anyway. Well, he has like goons like taking the hats and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of the people of England see Batman and Robin and they like recognize and fuck with them, and so they like tried helping to stop the Mad Hatter, and at one point there's like a ship in the river, and they're trying to shoot like a water hose at Mad Hatter to like shoot him down. And I think that's kind of fun that people in England know of Batman and Robin. And they're able to get like the civilians to help out.
Yeah.
What's also funny when they were on that commercial flight is that they're in full costume.
Yeah.
they didn't think to just like pose as.
They gotta go straight to work when they get there.
Yeah.
And then like Alfred goes with them because he's British.
Yeah.
And then he's got a cousin. It's like Jim Pennyworth or something.
That's some lore.
And then he's like, oh yeah, Bruce wanted me to help him or whatever.
Yeah, because like you think, or I guess it would make sense that his cousin doesn't know.
Yeah.
But the next one is the Clock King Strikes. And sorry, that last one was Jonathan Case and Wes Abbott. But this one is Sandy Jarrell and Tony Avinya. So Batman and Robin are at a party celebrating the capture of the Mad Hatter from the last issue. A little bit of continuity. Don't get scared, though.
Oh.
Batman remembers.
But same issue.
Same issue. So yeah, that's right. True. But Batman remembers on that chase of the Mad Hatter, the clock tower rung when it was like not on the hour. So he's like, that's a little bit weird. And they discover that the Clock King is in there, and was working with the Mad Hatter in some capacity. And so they go to like stop Clock King, and Clock King throws some android clock knights at them to like fight. And they end up tricking the androids to beating up the henchmen, and then they knock themselves out before they are able to arrest the Clock King.
I guess the Clock King is like brothers with that Mad Hatter.
Mad Hatter. Is that
no
is
shot.
That canon?
I don't think
it could
so.
Be. They're both like, dude, we should do that.
What?
We should just go both get some crazy gimmick and just be criminals.
Yeah, dude. Mad Hatter, DC. What's his name? Jervis Tetch. Okay.
Yep, Tetch. They mentioned that.
Clock King, DC. William Talkman.
So they made that up?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Anyway.
I'm looking it up.
So when they're going to the clock tower, they have their grappling hooks, whatever, and they start climbing on the side of the building.
Yeah.
But there's like a guard, you know, on the ground. He's like, do you want to use the stairs? And they're like, no,
It's like, no, we get not this time.
Just, that's so funny.
They do love to climb up a building with
It'd
a rope.
It'd be way less tiring, you know, probably faster.
Yeah. I like the Clock King Gooners because they have like a shirt with a different time. Like, it's like a picture of a clock, but they have like a different time on each one. Uh-huh. I don't know if you noticed that, but maybe that's like how he numbers his like his gooners.
Yeah.
He's like, this is the 6 o'clock guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that that's such a silly detail. But also these, he like made an android out of nowhere. That's some crazy technology at this time too. Because these are like robots that are fighting them.
Why would he make them knights?
I don't, maybe just like fit with the England.
I guess so.
Like vibe to be knights. They look like Elden Ring, like enemies. But then the next one is the Sandman Says Goodnight with art by Ruben Procopio and colors by Matt Wilson.
Yeah.
So Chief O'Hara of Gotham disappears and Batman finds sand on Commissioner Gordon's desk. So he thinks it's the Sandman's doing. The Sandman now has a sand that puts people in like a sleep trance that also makes them controllable. And so he hijacks a fire truck and he's shooting sand at like the whole city through the hose. Batman and Robin are also hit with the sand and they get captured. And Sandman's trying to use Batman to get to the Batcave in this like controllable state. But Batman realizes this and he starts lucid dreaming and then he breaks himself out and arrests the Sandman.
There's something really satisfying about just seeing Batman get coffee.
Does he get coffee in this?
Yeah, like the first couple pages. He's like talking to a barista and then he's sipping
cool.
like a little espresso.
Dude, that would be so cool to make coffee for Batman. I like just thinking about him waiting for the coffee. Like, what is he doing when he's just standing there?
Yeah. And so Batman was being inceptioned.
Dude, he was.
Yeah, and the way that he got out of it is that he just like imagined him reaching for his utility belt,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a bat alarm on there.
Thankfully.
In case he ever is in this very specific situation.
Yeah.
And he woke him up.
Well, he knew he was going to get involved with Sandman in some way, so maybe he was like, maybe I should put a bat alarm. I think he could have prepped for this one.
It's a, like this belt is arguably more useful than any utility belt in canon.
Batman 66's utility belt is the most powerful weapon in the universe, I think. It'll just have whatever he needs on there.
Because like one villain, I can't remember which one, took the belt and they knew that.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
a goon in this one was like, should we take his belt? Like it's like pretty fucking useful.
Yeah, and he's like, he's asleep.
Sandman's like, don't question my judgment or whatever.
This one has the most visually distinct art style, I feel like.
Yeah, with the dream and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
And then the dream and just like the regular stuff too, like in the world feels like a little bit more like political cartoon feeling maybe.
Yeah, a little caricature-ish.
Yeah.
You know, little like no one's got like that shape of face that the Sandman has.
Yeah.
How many Sandman are there?
I don't know. Is this the Neil Gaiman one?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't understand Sandman at all.
Well,
I need a Sandman expert.
I think the Neil Gaiman was just like rebranding Wesley Dodds, essentially.
Right. But he's not Wesley Dodds in the Sandman.
Well, like rebooting it in a way.
Is he Wesley Dodds in that book?
He's not Wesley Dodds, but like.
He's just a new guy.
I don't think there was. There wasn't like another Sandman at the time, you know?
What?
I'm pretty sure. Like.
Wesley Dodds was after Neil Gaiman Sandman?
No, before.
Right.
Like.
But you're saying in the Neil Gaiman one, there wasn't a Sandman.
Correct. Like existing. There wasn't Wesley Dodds or
gotcha.
Whatever.
But that Sandman was still part of the Justice League at some point.
Or like Justice Society, I think.
Or Justice Society. Yeah, something like that.
But that was more
he knows of them because like Martian Manhunter is in that book.
Yeah.
It's all very confusing.
I imagine there's maybe post-crisis or something.
Yeah. So. And now there's this Sandman who's a for real villain.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's a lot of Sandman going on.
I don't think there's room for any more.
This is it.
We got a villain.
If I see one more iteration of Sandman, I'm going to boycott DC as a whole.
Yeah. Another sleep villain, really?
Yeah. That's what you needed.
It's putting me to sleep.
A fourth Sandman puts me to sleep, for sure. So I do like the psychedelic sequences we have here.
Killer coloring.
Yeah, great coloring. Matt Wilson.
Love Matt Wilson.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty fun. And then we got the last one, which is Tale of the Tiger Topaz. We get Jim and Barbara Gordon are at an art museum, and Barbara is like a little suspicious of one of the people that's working during the day. So at night, she comes back as Batgirl and finds that the worker was Catwoman trying to like investigate and steal the Tiger Topaz jewel. So Batgirl triggers the alarm and fights Catwoman until Commissioner Gordon can show up and cuffs Catwoman. And then Batgirl just runs off and Commissioner Gordon has no idea who that was. Is this like a different Catwoman?
So there's a couple Catwoman.
God damn women it. We're doing this again.
in like the show. Like this is like the black one and there's like a white one at a certain point. Mm. I don't know if it was like a recasting kind of thing or if it was like, I'm sure it was. I can't imagine there's like generations within the show, but.
Yeah, true.
But yeah.
Yeah, you could tell that this one's quite different from that first one. So like it is in design. She has like these weird goggle looking things. But I do like, was there ever a Batgirl? Do you think in this show?
Yes.
There was? Okay. Because I'm like, this is kind of a fun idea exploring different people of the Bat family in this like Batman 66 universe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I've ever seen that just design or anything in general.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think in newer iterations of Batgirl, when they're kind of trying to make like a modern version of retro like suits, they, mm-hmm. you know, they pull from this one.
Yeah.
Because it's a really cool design, I think.
It is, yeah. I like
this. Just adding like purple to like,
does she have
the color scheme?
And she has like a black faceplate still?
Yeah.
In that one? Yeah.
Oh, in the newer ones or?
In the live action one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks good. I think it works.
Then if you see like this kind of more modern Batgirl, it's yeah, kind of, it's like pulling from that.
Definitely. But that is all of the stories. So we can go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Holy variant covers.
Holy variant covers, Batman. This is all just variant covers. We get a Jonathan Case one, which is pretty fun. There's a...
Is it like a toy one?
Yeah, the toy one's fun, because I think that's like just a pic, like a photography.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this one would be fun to make, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Ooh, Kevin Maguire.
Kevin Maguire, you gotta get him on there. A Coley Hamner one, which makes Batman look kind of sickly. I feel like
very
I don't know what these
very prominent mustache on the Joker.
Yeah, that one's pretty prominent for sure. But I think all the what do we get here? Chris Sprouse, Dave Johnson. So really just variant covers mainly. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would give it like a vanilla love it with like some sprinkles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of colors, classic, very enjoyable. Maybe not like the flavor that would have been most satisfying to me, but
mm-hmm.
it is very likable. And I think it is like, this isn't just for people who like that show, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it is accessible, you know?
Yeah. I would give this like a retro ice cream that you get from like an ice cream truck. Because it's just something that doesn't really exist anymore.
Retro ice cream truck.
Or just like an ice cream that you get from ice cream truck. Because I don't think those are really a thing anymore, are they?
Ice cream trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one that comes through here.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I've never gotten up to it, but like I always think about it.
Maybe.
I need cash to leave by the door.
Maybe this will just be like an ice cream split then. And okay. It's just like, there's kind of like a lot going on sometimes. And
What do you think you get from an old ice cream truck? Like the little like strawberry shortcake one or whatever? Or something else?
No, they normally just have like the Sonic popsicle things, don't okay. they?
Yeah, yeah.
Do they have like scoops of ice cream that you can get?
Maybe, yeah.
Is it just like drumsticks?
Probably mostly the drumsticks, but.
Hmm. Or maybe it is like a scoop of ice cream that you get on a cone and you lick it and like the ball of ice cream falls off. Anyway, something like that. Or we're been in a split because there's a lot going on. But I like it. I just won't read the rest.
Yeah.
But it's fun for what it is, and I appreciate its existence and why it fits.
Yeah, it was on the list just because I was like curious.
Yeah, it's a very just unique thing that is celebrates an entire culture of Batman.
It always caught my eye when I saw it at the shop, you know?
Yeah, and in a way, this is like a corner of Batman's history that just is never touched again, really, if not for this book.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, so if you do enjoy some of the campiness and silliness of that generation of Batman, you can get that with this.
Yeah, it's like taking those like ideas that would have been in like retro books, but yeah, in a more digestible form.
Yeah.
So
pretty fun.
Let's see what this is rated on Comic Geeks.
Oh yeah.
What do you think?
I think this is looked at highly. Does it break 4? I think it just is 4.0.
This tray got 4.0.
Really?
Yep.
Dude, I'm a fucking beast.
The pull is, the pull is, what did you shove in your box?
What are you getting this week?
So many Absolute books come out this week.
Do they?
Absolute Batman, 16. Absolute Wonder Woman, 16. Absolute Martian Manhunter, 8. And then Green Lantern, 31. And then I'm pretty sure it's all I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm just getting Manhunter 8.
Yeah. So that's cool. DC. All DC books for me this week, which is interesting.
What did you watch, Nathan? Did you read anything
more? I did read some stuff. I read Spider-Man Noir number 3 that you lent me.
Oh, okay.
Pretty fun. It's definitely a third issue of like a 5-issue arc, I think, because they're just like kind of throwing whatever at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this issue kind of leads up to the cliffhanger, which is like Gwen Stacy wanting to be like, I know Spider-Man killed my father, but I want to know the identity of Spider-Man now. And he's like, what? And it's basically just you're basically just restarting the story, it feels like. Because he's like, oh, what am I going to tell her? But I still like it. It's fun to have a book where there's somebody punching and killing Nazis.
Yeah.
So I fuck with that. And then I read Absolute Wonder Woman 14, which is the second part of Matias Bergara's fill-in arc.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just so electric in this.
Nice.
There's an Absolute Zatanna, which is cool in this. And it's the intro to the like Absolute Batman crossover, which takes place in issue 15, I think. So,
oh, right.
So I'm wondering if I should try and just binge through all the Absolute Batman stuff real quick to, one, decide if I like it, and two, just to take all that in, I guess.
Right.
And then I read the Batman Arc M special. Or the Absolute Batman Arkham special, which is the just annual, I think, but it was by Scott Snyder, Frank Thierry, and Joshua Hickson on art.
Oh.
And it was like a really solid one-shot issue of just like a really fucked up situation, but just the creation of Arkham.
Yeah.
And Joshua Hickson is really good at like those types of books. This really fucked up crime noir type stuff.
Nice.
It's cool.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I like him on the stuff. What'd you read?
I didn't read anything other than our book.
That's fair.
The slap on the wrist. I'm sorry, Nathan.
That's okay.
I failed you.
Do better next time.
Did you watch anything?
I did. I watched 3 movies this week, Daniel.
3?
And one of them I watched twice.
Ooh. Oh, did you tell Sophia that it was good?
I told Sophia that I think she would like it.
I was thinking, I'm like, oh, Sophia missed out, dude.
She was like, so yeah, we saw 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Banger movie.
Banger, dude.
It's so good. It's interesting because it feels quite different from the last one.
If you didn't like the first one, you'll like this one.
Yeah, it almost seems that way. But what's crazy is that Sophie did end up liking this like a lot.
Uh-huh.
She liked it so much that she was like, because she didn't like 28 Years Later. So that's why I didn't like, she didn't even want to see this. But when I saw it, I was like, it's so good. Like, it'll probably be like a top 5 movie of the year for me, I think.
Yeah.
And it's only January.
Great fucking way to start.
And I'm like not excited for anything else, probably, as much as I think I will enjoy some stuff coming out this year. Like
Dune?
Dune's cool, but like I'm not crazy about Dune, I don't think.
Doomsday.
Maybe. It'll be fun.
Evil Dead Burn.
That'll be cool.
Supergirl?
Yeah, but you know.
Godzilla Minus Zero.
That'll be sick. But like it just, there's,
yeah,
I could see, I wouldn't be surprised if this was like a top 5 movie of the year for me already. So it was really, really fun. And Sophie liked it so much that she was like, I think I get why people like 28 Years Later now. Like the movie before this.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane? So, and then she was like, I want to watch 28 Days Later. But mostly because she was like,
if we turned
I,
her.
I do it. I think so. So we might watch the first two because I haven't seen them either. Low key.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I haven't
seen the first two. But she was also kind of.
You could skip weeks if you want. But.
Oh, okay.
There's like good stuff in there.
Yeah. But I like this one a lot. I mean, I think the doctor, Dr. Ian Kelsey or whatever his name is a really just interesting character.
Yeah. And I like one of the coolest characters, like.
In any apocalypse.
This, yeah. The last couple of years.
Yeah. Super compelling. And I like the trust. He's like clearly at a very low point in the beginning and he like doesn't care if he dies, but he puts his faith in like friendship or whatever. Spoilers for this movie, by the way.
Yeah.
And this movie is really good on a rewatch.
I bet, dude.
And it's like,
I've been thinking about it a lot.
Just think I have been too. And it's just awesome. I think I really like the message of just like Spike really pulling through all these like crazy violent situations by leading with compassion. And I think that's a message that is like pretty important right now. So sure. I think that it has a lot of important themes and stuff like that too. So it's awesome. Also, when they ripped off the shirts for charity.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Insane.
Gross.
So crazy. You know, yeah, really fun. I think like they look ridiculous, like the Jimmies.
Yeah.
But I think their ridiculousness only works if they're like also fucking insane.
Totally.
You know, like if they were just kind of like weird Power Ranger people that were just fighting zombies, like that'd be just kind of cheesy.
Where do they get the jumpsuits from?
I don't know.
Because I don't think Spike was the same size as the dude that he had to kill to get to that point.
Maybe he was.
He could have been.
Anyway.
But I'm like, where's the budget for the jumpsuits?
Yeah.
Like, where are they getting those from? Or the wigs?
And with it being like seven of these Jimmies, there's still like individual things about them that I liked, you know? Like, yeah. They're like likable characters or they're interesting at least.
Each one had at least like a thing. Or you knew like one of them was the guy that liked the Jimmy before. One of them's like the actual nice one. Two of them are clearly like the fucking crazy ones that are buddies. Like,
yeah.
You can, even though you don't, I mean, I guess you do know their names because they're Jimmy, but some of them are fucking crazy.
Mm.
And there's a scene in this movie that, like, I was watching it and I was like, I never want this to end.
Yeah.
Which is the Iron Maiden part.
Right.
The whole time I was giddy. Like, the whole time I was like, I can't believe what I'm fucking watching right now. And it's the best thing ever. It was so fun.
Can you believe Ralph Fiennes doesn't have an Oscar?
Dude, it's insane.
It's criminal.
It is bizarre.
He should get it for this.
If he gets it for this, for that fucking cunty performance he was putting on, yeah. Where he really adopts that role, it's awesome.
And he made Satanism look kind of cool.
More like Ralph Fiennes as hell, because he's naked in this movie at one point for some reason.
Yeah. But it was cool, you know. Full spoilers. It was cool to see that he was able to see that, like, his shit, like, worked.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I love that, yeah.
Right at the buzzer beater. Because if he died without knowing that, like, I guess that is, like, a choice. But I it's still just kind of satisfying.
Yeah, I like that they had that moment where Samson pulls up and he's like, thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I watched it twice. I couldn't hear what he said in response to that. But it is a nice moment. And the only criticism I have is, like, if he is dead, because he does get carried off by Samson or whatever, I'm pretty sure he's dead. But if he is dead, I feel like Spike would have stayed there with him until he died, because he kind of just nails that head Jimmy to the fucking cross and then leaves.
Yeah.
But leaves Ian Kelsey or the doctor just there. And you'd think that they would, like, send him off by having him be a part of his bone temple that he spent, like, decades creating.
That's quite the process, it seemed like. You know, I don't know if they'd necessarily be able to
replicate
it well.
Like, bury him there or something, you know, so that he could, like, be a part of this, like, monumental thing that he, like, dedicated his life to at this point.
Yeah.
But I like that he's also just a good therapist in general.
Yeah.
He's just listening to people talk and whatnot.
Yeah, I wanted this movie to be, like, 30 minutes longer, honestly.
Dude, yeah.
Like, there could have been, like, another Jimmy scene or something, or, like, a little bit more.
Yeah, it feels like they could have had some sort of...
Like, it's really tight, you know, which works, and I think is what makes it, like, likable. But I feel like there was enough there to be, like, 2:30, you know?
I think they could have put more horror stuff in it.
Yeah.
Because it's not really a horror movie. There's like 3 or 4 jump scares. Dude, when I saw it the second time, that theater was loud. I knew when all the jump scares were coming and I still jumped.
Oh.
It was like a super loud theater for some reason.
That one, like the zombie, I think that gets Jimmy at the end.
Oh, that
scared the fuck out of me.
I knew that one was coming out and made sure to be prepared. I think it was.
There could have been like a little bit more zombie stuff. Like it's pretty light in this.
Yeah, it doesn't really. It like in that. Like I know these characters and there's, you know, a rage virus or whatever going on, but you don't really see that many zombies in it. So I feel like if it was 20, 30 minutes longer, you could put more situations where they're running and stuff, and it makes it feel more like what the last one was.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily a criticism, but it just is interesting that it's different in that way. And I like that.
So what else did you watch?
I watched Silent Hill, the first one, the movie.
Okay. Is that old? Like it's like 2000 or something?
2006.
Okay. How was that?
It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
It's definitely a 2000, early 2000s horror movie.
So is that based off a game?
Yes.
Or the movies have games?
I'm pretty sure the game was first.
Okay.
I don't really know. I've never really interacted with Silent Hill at all. I heard the games are awesome, too, but I never like... played any of them, watched like YouTubers play them or anything. Like I don't really even know what it is. I just know about Pyramid Head.
Yeah.
And he's like the guy.
Not a great name.
I mean, it works. He's got a pyramid on his head.
Yeah.
Sean Bean is in this, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, is that the Lord of the Rings guy? But the horror in it is like pretty interesting. And then towards the end of the movie, it gets very metal. Like there's a lot of barbed wire, like
hell yeah,
stuff flying around. So it's pretty cool. I like the first movie. I think it's actually pretty good, even though it feels like early 2000s.
What made you want to watch that?
Because Parker really wanted to see Return to Silent Hill. And I'd mentioned to Sophie, I had never seen like any of the Silent Hill movies. And she's like, what? And she looked at me like I was crazy. She really likes this first Silent Hill movie for some reason.
And Return to Silent Hill that came out?
Return to Silent Hill is the one that just recently came out. And I watched that this week as well. And so the first Silent Hill, I think, is like pretty solid movie overall. I liked it. This one is awful.
Ooh.
But it's not even awful enough to be like a fun, bad movie.
Yeah.
It sits right there and it's just
like boring.
It's just there.
Uh-huh.
Pyramid Head is like not in it very long, who's like the main draw, I would say.
Yeah.
For a lot of these. It feels like Hallmark made a horror movie.
Oh.
Like the beginning stuff feels like a Hallmark movie, like to a T, where he's like, he's got this girl that he loves, and you see like their relationship, and she just lives in Silent Hill, I guess.
And before Silent it gets Hill all is wet.
Up. Silent Hill is this town that was normal, but there's like a cult of like devil worshippers that were in there, and then something happened to the town where there was like a big fire. It's like a coal mining town, and I think there's like a big fire under the town, which made like a bunch of ashes and stuff come up and burn down the whole town.
Hmm.
But then when you enter the town, it looks like a normal town and something triggers that puts you in like a different dimension. And then it turns into just like this really crazy demonic town.
Okay.
And you could be there. In the first Silent Hill, it's interesting because Sean Bean is there looking for his wife and his wife is in the same spot that he is in the town, but in the demon dimension.
Yeah.
And they could like feel that they're close to each other kind of. So there's like alternate dimensional planes, I guess.
So are there Silent Hill movies in between these?
Yeah, there's 2.
Okay.
I think those are supposed to be all right.
Okay.
Dude, Pyramid Head is ripped as fuck in that first one.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool, actually. And there's a scene where it's like, I think the famous gross scene in it, but in the first one, he like picks up a girl with one hand, rips off all of her clothes, and then rips off her skin in like one motion. It's kind of crazy.
I think I've seen that like fatality or something on like Mortal Kombat.
Oh, is he a character in Mortal Kombat? He'd be a good character in that.
I think so.
He's got like a big sword.
The one where they had all like the horror icons.
Yeah.
You know, like your Jasons and
whatnot. I can see him being in like a Dead by Daylight too.
Hmm.
But he's cool. Just, I don't know. This last one, I went in knowing that it had like 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
But it still is just like nothing. So,
yeah.
Like, not completely terrible. If you like these movies, then you might like this.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Any TV or anything?
No. I didn't get to watch Game of Thrones yet.
Oh, right.
What'd you watch?
I watched a movie called Priscilla. It's about Priscilla Presley.
It's the Elvis one?
Elvis is in it, yeah.
Okay.
But it's not like
the Elvis. It's not about Elvis, right?
No.
Okay.
Because Priscilla like leaves him like before that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's like okay. It's not really like for me. It is like technically like good and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Kaylee Spaney, who is like the girl from the new Alien movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
She's in like a lot of stuff. She's also in like Wake Up Dead Man and stuff like that.
Who is she in that? Wait.
The one in the wheelchair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff recently.
That's cool.
She's also in Civil War. But yeah, anyway. Pretty good. I watched a DC animated movie.
Cool.
Justice League War World.
Have really?
Heard of this one?
Is it a newer-ish one?
23. It's like post.
Yeah, yeah.
Connected universe.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's just, I don't think it's based off any comic or anything. They just kind of like went for it.
Mm-hmm.
Had Jensen Ackles as Batman.
Cool.
He's pretty good.
I think he's Batman in a couple of those.
A couple. He was also Batman in like DKR, I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
But or maybe it was Long Halloween. I'm not sure. But it's weird because it's like an anthology in a way. And then they end up like connecting at the end. But it's like the Trinity in different times. Like it's like Wonder Woman in like the Old West.
Mm.
It's Superman in like this like noir time. It's like black and white, but there's also like
is he still a reporter?
Aliens or something. He's like more of like a detective, I think.
That's kind of cool. So each individual one is in a different timeline.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then Batman's like a Viking or something.
Hell yeah.
And it was like cool, like visually, like the animation style is like better than the Connected Universe.
Cool.
I think one of the Love, Death, and Robot studios did it.
Oh, neat.
But I was like half watching it, you know, so I was just kind of like glancing it, and there's like some cool visuals here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people like fucking hated this movie, but
really?
I think like the anthology part of it is kind of more for me than other people, you know?
Yeah.
But
that seems interesting. I mean, I like that there's some original stuff that they got in there, you know?
Yeah. I heard in different countries, they're just pulling off like all the animated movies. So I'm just like, maybe I should watch some of these, you know?
I think they pulled them off HBO.
No, I watched this on HBO.
This week?
Yeah, like on Saturday or something.
I think that's coming then. Like
they're not all on there, but...
But I heard that there was like 30 of them or something that were like coming off.
Potentially.
So. Yeah, maybe I should watch a few of them too.
I watched the first episode of The Beauty. And...
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay. I probably won't keep watching it.
Mm.
It feels very... Like, I think this is only, like, really greenlit and pushed forward because of, like, Substance.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of feels like that, too. So, I don't really understand the world, you know, because we didn't read the book or anything.
Yeah, me neither.
I hear this is, like, kind of different from the book anyway, but...
Is Ashton Kutcher in it?
Not in the first episode.
What the hell?
Yeah, he's, like, all over the ads and stuff.
Yeah.
I watched A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It is okay. I mean, it's what you remember, I guess, from the beginning. You know, he's going to the town and you meet Egg and whatnot.
So why do you think they are doing this?
I think just because it is a thing that they haven't done yet.
Okay.
Because I think the Game of Thrones books covers, the Game of Thrones show covers a lot of the books.
Yeah.
And then there's just House of the Dragon or whatever, which is like...
It's like 100 years before...
Yeah, that's like its own book. It's like fire and something. Yeah. And then there's this. There's just a thing that they could make, so I guess they just are choosing to do it.
Mm.
I don't know if they're stretching out the first book that we read to the season. It's only like 8 episodes, and they're like 30-minute episodes.
Oh, they're only 30 minutes?
Yeah, this one was like 40, I think, but they're all going to be like kind of short.
Interesting.
Because there's a second book that I have that I haven't read. So I'm not sure if they're going to fit that in there.
They'll probably see how the season goes. But yeah, I imagine where ours ends, there's like a pretty big reveal. That's probably what the end of the season will be.
Right. So yeah,
I enjoyed that book enough.
I'll probably watch it. It's when I heard that they were making that, I'm like, ah, I don't know. Like, I don't think it's that like exciting, really.
It's not. But it's still like, I think you just the main like two or three characters have to be lovable enough or like enjoyable enough that you want to like root for them. And you'll just hear Targaryen every once in a while and be like, oh.
Right. Just the connective tissue. Yeah. Like. And then we watch Pluribus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The Vince Gilligan show.
All of it? Or
yeah, first season.
Cool.
Sets up for a second one. It's kind of like Chair Company for me in a way. I'm like, this could have been just one really solid season. And they just kind of... It feels like it's being stretched out. It could have been like really resolved in like the 9 episodes or whatever it was.
Yeah, I hear it gets kind of slow, but like a good slow.
It is slow, but it's just so fucking interesting.
Yeah.
That's what I just like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you know how like Mr. and Mrs. Smith was like, it was really good, but you kind of weren't really sure why in a way. It was just really likable.
Yeah.
That's kind of like how I feel about this, you know?
Well, I think just both of those characters in Mr. and Mrs. Smith had a lot of aura.
There's that. But like, how do you like sell that to a person, you know?
Donald Glover. You know him? Yeah. No, I know what you mean, though. It's like, this really works. I don't know what aspect of it is like making it work necessarily. It just does.
Yeah, I think it's just the situation is intriguing. You just kind of think about what you would do in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But Nathan, we're going to read next week.
What are we going to read next week?
Are we doing a random book? This is what this week was.
No.
No? Okay.
We're doing a romance book.
Is it Valentine's Day already?
It'll be the Valentine's Day episode.
What kind of romance book are we doing? Do we have ideas?
One about love. Yeah, I got a couple. So I'd read the first issue of Strangers in Paradise. I think it's by Terry Moore. That seemed like a good option. There's a book called Sleepless, which is a book by Sarah Vaughan. And that's kind of like a...
Was it?
Sleepless.
Sleepless.
It seems like a fantasy kind of thing, or at least like Old English kind of thing.
Okay.
There's some romance manga, if you're interested in that.
That could be.
And then this other one that I remember seeing when it was coming out is called Alex Plus Ada.
Yeah.
You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
It's got like, no, just two people on the cover.
Alex Plus.
It's like an image book in
2014,
2015. You seen that?
Yeah, I've seen this cover before.
I think it's like a AI love story or something. Oh, also by Sarah Vaughan.
Oh, really? You know, I've seen this one for like forever, it feels like.
Right.
Or maybe it was just coming out when...
Yeah, sci-fi drama.
Let me see. A sci-fi drama set in the near future, the last thing in the world. I mean, I'd be down for this one.
Okay, let's make sure it's readable.
Yeah, you can. It's on Comixology Unlimited.
Oh, is it? Cool.
Yep. The first volume.
Sick. Should we do that?
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Sounds good.
I've seen this everywhere. The romance.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Email in at traverspod@gmail.com.
Yep.
Tell us.
Should we read the rest of the Batman 66 stuff?
Is there any other romance books that we should do? It's a small list, but, you know.
Yeah, true.
We'll get down to nothing eventually.
You know? Should I play the Silent Hill games?
Yeah.
I'm actually curious. So, yeah. Peace.
Goodbye.